Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical anti-capitalist approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. Everyone, welcome to the 79th episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. I'm excited today to share a conversation with amazing creator, herbalist, artist, and magic maker Catherine Felice of Cimarron Botanica. And Catherine was on the podcast last year during Plant Person Origin Stories, and I was so in love with their story and everything they had to share, and I really wanted to feature them on the podcast in a full-length conversation this year. And I'm just so blown away and amazed by the work that this person puts out into the world, and I definitely encourage everyone to check out their offerings and their classes. They're a writer, they have zines available, flower essences, plant potions. So definitely check out the links in profile and support their work. This week, I am putting together the presentations for Rising Above the Wound, Shadow Work, and Collective Healing in the Times of the U.S. Pluto Return. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm super excited. That's starting next week. And I also last week launched Tarot School for Liberation. It is now a self-paced course on Teachable, so you can register at any time and you can take as long as you need to complete the course. There's even an extra bonus lecture that's 80 minutes long about the court cards and working with the court cards from a non-gendered, non-hierarchical lens. So if you are a graduate of Tarot School for Liberation or Tarot Summer School and you're interested in retaking the class, because this one is a lot longer, there's a lot longer of lectures because I had more freedom. We were always like fighting against the clock in the live sessions. You can send me an email. I'm letting alumni retake the class for 50% off. So email me for the code. And if you're an alumni and you're not interested in taking the class, but you're interested in joining the Discord channel, it's already super lively. Lots of people having great conversations already in the first week, new students and returning students. So you can email me for a link to the Discord channel as well. And the joining Tarot School for Liberation gets you lifetime access to the Discord channel. So hopefully my plan is opportunities for lots of folks to connect and help each other out with tarot and support each other in their growth with learning tarot. So check out Tarot School for Liberation. I'm looking forward to seeing some folks there. And you can also check out the Patreon. I'm going to be starting up the Flower Essence Case Studies. If you want to participate, you can join the Patreon. Also, if you join at $7 or above, you subscribe to all future paper zines. The next one's going to be coming out in December, and it's going to be the result of the Pluto class. So you'll subscribe to that if you join the Patreon this month, because you have to be a patron for 3 months to get the paper zines. And at $10, you get a monthly chat. So I'm starting to do a monthly tarot chat, and that's happening this week. So at $10, you get that. And also, it's just a really awesome way to support the podcast. The Patreon is what funds the podcast and allows me to pay my guests and or make donations to causes of the guest's choice and just do a lot of mutual aid in general. So check out the Patreon. Check out Tarot School for Liberation. I'm really excited. And I just want to give another shout out that I am really excited about featuring mutual aid groups on the podcast. So if you're in a mutual aid group or some type of grassroots organizing and you want to spread the word, hit me up. My email is in show notes and you can send a recording that I will feature on the podcast. And I hope to start featuring them in the next month or so. And I will give you a donation as well. I'll pay you for that spot. So let me know. I would love to help out mutual aid groups. all around who want more exposure. You know, this is a small podcast. We don't have a giant reach, but hopefully it'll help people connect, because really that's what we need right now in these times, is to feel connected to people in our localities, in our communities. So check out the Patreon, Tarot School for Liberation. Check out Catherine Felice's work. And I'm really excited about this conversation. I hope you love it. Head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave a review. Y'all, we haven't gotten a review since June, which makes sense, you know, because the podcast was on sabbatical. But if you are listening through iTunes or Apple Podcasts, help a witch out and leave a 5-star review and a rating. I would appreciate that so much. Sending everybody lots of love. We've got a really intense full moon happening. It's one of my favorite full moons of the year because the Aries full moon, situated in Libra season, is really about the self versus the collective. And I think this is so important for us. And the full moon also coincides with a Mars square Pluto. So this could be an intense time. Watch out for impulsivity, you know, like be mindful of your actions and how they affect others around you. This is, again, the self is the reflection of the collective. The collective is the reflection of the self. And that's really going to be situated in this full moon, which is happening probably right when this episode is coming out. So I want to send from the bottom of my heart a big thank you to all the listeners and everyone who's engaged with their communities and looking at themselves and just trying to do better for themselves and for each other. Sending everybody lots of love. Hope you love this conversation.
Hi everyone, my name is Catherine Felice, and I'm a queer, two-spirit, trans descendant of West African, Southern European, and Arawak Taino peoples. My parents immigrated from Kiskeya Iti, which is present-day Dominican Republic, to Lenape Hoking Lands, otherwise known as New York City, where I was born and raised. And my experiences of growing up in a poor Spanish-speaking immigrant household definitely politically radicalized me from a very early age and continues to inform my approach to herbalism, magic, art, and community organizing. I'm a freedom fighter and a lover who's always learning and evolving on this journey of coming back home to myself. And I'm excited to see where our conversation goes today.
Hi, I'm here today with the amazing interdisciplinary artist and medicine person, Catherine Felice. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast.
Hey, Karina. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for being here. You're awesome. So we have a lot of stuff in our trajectory, I guess, to talk about today. You know, we were just talking about how you just have this amazing array of projects and offerings that are so original. And I was really excited to talk with you, especially after you were on the podcast last year during the Plant Person Origin Stories. And I wanted to ask if you would kind of, not necessarily like exactly retell it, but sort of begin by telling us about your origins of really connecting to plant medicine and becoming a plant medicine maker.
It was actually like a really great exercise to do that and to answer that question, because like it made me kind of reflect on the arc of my story and kind of like all of the points that that led me back home to myself and back home to my purpose, and really continue to do so. I feel like plants and spirits and ancestors were always a really
strong presence in my life. And there were definitely moments along the path that kind of like awoken me to like, hey, this is a part of yourself that is hiding, and that like maybe society or like the world around you doesn't see or recognize or value, but like this is who you are, this is who we are, and this is what we came here to do. And part of that work has also been in just listening and like spending time with my mother, and who like is definitely a great source of wisdom to me, and grew up in Barahona in Dominican Republic, which is like kind of towards the west of the country, in front of the sea and like near the mountains. And for a lot of my recent ancestors, like connection to the land felt shameful, because it meant that like you were poor, and that, you know, like you weren't part of the city and like the upper class and the white establishment, and like, you know, just like all this other shit, and, you know, like definitely the trauma of slavery and genocide and colonization, which is still like very present, and I think like, right, like those scars underneath, I think it's also like part of the shame and silence that I've had to decode as I've like gotten older, you know, and like realized that all these things that I'm interested in, like it's not random, like it's been in my family, it's been in my line for so long. Yeah, so a big part of that awakening process kind of happened when I was like 18 and 19, and I had gone to environmental studies high school in New York City, because I knew I was just like really interested in plants, animals, and like the earth, and just like studying the natural world more, and also like human relationships to the natural world. I was also like really interested in anthropology and kind of like learning about different cultures and how like our practices with each other, like what that says of our relationship to the land and to like unseen things as well. So like, not to go off tangent, but like, for example, when I was in high school, I was like, I remember I wrote this paper on like on funerary practices around the world, and like comparison with the funerary practices here in the US, right? And how like the way that we treat our dead, the way that we treat our most vulnerable, right? And like how we meet these points in like transformation, how, like what that says about our connection or disconnection to the earth and like the cycles of lives. And I was also like, you know, incredibly depressed for a lot of reasons when I was young. And long story short, I kind of miraculously went straight into college after high school. And then I was like, wait, I still am feeling like really shitty and depressed. Like, this can't be it. So I dropped out, which was a huge deal for me, and I kind of carried a lot of guilt because I was the first person in my family to go to college, and like, you know, like my mom didn't have more than a seventh grade education, my grandmother never learned how to write and how to read, so me like going to college was kind of a big deal. But I recognized that, you know, this wasn't like the path, like this wasn't like the things that were kind of being set up that I was being told like I needed in order to live and to live a good life. I was like, not about that. And then I reached out to Mark and Karina, to Mark Frobe and Karina Cohen of who had a homestead in Northern California. I decided that, you know, like I wanted to, like, this is what I wanted to spend my life doing. So why wait? Like, definitely a lot of fool card energy happening during that time of like, I don't have any money. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do this because this is like where my heart is calling me towards. And I knew that there was this big also like connection to the earth and to like working with plants and animals that have been in my line because of migration and depression and so many things. Like I, you know, that was in my experience growing up. So it was also like, yeah, it's like I'm ready to remember and to learn. And this is something that I want to nurture. And then I went on to work with them for about a year, and I was living on Karuk and Hoopa lands, ancestral lands, and also reservation lands. And it was just like a turning point for me and really like, yeah, I owe them so much for taking me in into the beautiful whole land that they've been stewarding for, I think, like more than 40 years now. And yeah, and that was a moment also where I saw that, like, you know, these things that I wanted, like, they weren't like that crazy, you know, like this life that that I envisioned myself living that felt, I guess, like real. And yeah, like what my heart was calling me towards, other people had also like made a path and that it was possible. So I met other herbalists and witches and healers, and yeah, and also made a lot of really strong friendships that continue on to this time. And before then, I also, you know, had like spent the majority of my time, I guess like all of my time in New York City, and living in such a rural place where like not only was I kind of the only Black person there, but also like, you know, kind of like the community was much more rooted, right? Like the Karuk and like the Hoopa people have been there for so many generations. And then there was also this, I guess, strain or like side to the community, which was a lot of kind of like white hippies and like dropouts from the 60s and 70s who were part of the Back to the Land movement and had moved up there in search of, you know, quote unquote, free land. So that was like that history as well. And coming up against that was also an interesting time when I started to be like, oh shit, like I feel a lot of resonance with the Indigenous community here. Like, yeah, like I realized that like the experiences that my friends were having on the reservation was like very similar to like the experiences that I had like growing up in the hood and in the projects. And that, you know, like although like my people were displaced, like there's still a lot that's worth fighting for and recovering for. Like I spent some time studying and learning the Karuk language, and you know, like the whole time there was also a lot of like sadness within me of like, whoa, all that is lost and all that is that has been buried. And I've been on a journey the past 3 years of learning the Taíno language, and like it's been really beautiful and transformative and also hard and like, you know, brings up a lot of sorrow and loss. But yeah, if it wasn't for those examples, those people in my life, those amazing elders that took me in, I'm not sure that I would have the conviction and the confidence to do the work that I'm doing today. So that was kind of maybe a long-winded story, and I'm like forgetting the original question. So
I love that story. It was really beautiful because I remember hearing this story when you did the plant person origin story, but I didn't know that you studied the Kuruk language, for example. I didn't, you know, all these other details that are just you know, it just yeah, it enriches like so much about that narrative. And I'm really familiar also with that land because I grew up nearby and we outland in Arcata, Eureka, California. And it's such a beautiful valley, that area. It's like the most beautiful valley. And the amount of and I also worked there when I worked for the county doing harm reduction, so I know like some of what is happening there with healthcare, with disparities, with issues of like police, and that dichotomy of being in like such a beautiful place. And there are so many, and I love also, I'll say, you just, yeah, you ignited a lot of me because I'm from that area, about, you know, the, yeah, that kind of like white baby boomer back to the land homesteader culture in contrast with like so-called Humboldt County having such rich and distinct tribal communities that are still very active. And, you know, so much so that there's recently been land awarded back to the Wiat people, the Yurok people, et cetera. So it's really interesting to hear about how that experience really shaped you as a plant medicine maker. And I'm wondering about how, you know, now you have Cimarrón Botánica, or is it Botánica Cimarrón?
Botánica Cimarrón.
Okay, cool. So how did that, you know, how did your Botanica kind of come to fruition?
Yeah. Oof, that's such a good question. There's definitely like bits and pieces all along my life. You know, I've always wanted you know, like being just being an artist, like being a fucking artist. And anarchist also. I'm just like, I just want the freedom to like do what makes me happy, what lights me up, and like what and like give my offerings for freely. So yeah, I guess like the seed of the dream of Botanica Cimarrón has kind of like grown along the years of like having a place to share my offerings. So to speak more concretely, I guess like for people that might not know, Botánica Cimarrón is an apothecary and also a spiritual goods store that I started in 2020 with a collection of like five elixirs, which are really like a blend of Caribbean folk herbalism and also Western folk herbalism that like really reflects yeah, kind of like my style of herbalism of blending a lot of ancestral knowledge with also like the knowledge that that like I continue to expand upon as I'm in relationship with the land that I'm in and like the people that I'm in relationship with. And yeah, and I also make ritual products, and right now our collection is like pretty small because everything that I make is handmade and incredibly intentional. Like the formulas and offerings that I've had, like I've been experimenting on for years and, you know, kind of refining and like also like really working with my guides and my ancestors and listening and trusting and following the signs. So that's really how Botanica Cimarrón was born. It was born under the pandemic when like I quit my job just like a few weeks before the pandemic hit. I was working at an archive and community center, working with youth and kind of like creating programs around materials and the archive. And, you know, a lot of what I was doing was bringing me joy and fulfillment, but I was also like, I can't be working in an office and doing this like day in, day out nonprofit thing. And yeah, and like I didn't feel ready at all, but I trusted the guidance of my guides, my ancestors, and it was actually like perfect timing because I was able to collect unemployment once the pandemic hit, and that's how I was able to fund the project, and to also like have the time to really like dig down and be like, all right, like what is this, like what are my offerings going to be, like what do, yeah. And that's also a process that I think I'm still in as like things are evolving, and like I'm also in graduate school, and so that's kind of
wow,
like I have to remind myself yeah. every now and then of like, you know, like you want to be doing more, but also like, dude, like you're literally in graduate school and you're like running this brand and like making medicines, and then you also have to like take care of yourself and like all the things. But yeah, so Botanica Cimarrón was really yeah, it's really a dream that I feel like was alive before me, and then I was just, you know, like I was the person that was willing to bring this into the world. I really feel like, yeah, particularly the medicine of the Caribbean, particularly Afro-Taino medicine, knowledge ways, spirituality, like ancestral ways, are so incredibly like rich and diverse and like and just fucking fabulous and brilliant. And you know, there, and like I definitely don't see that represented like when I look at the quote unquote wellness or like spiritual community and yeah, I really think that there's a lot of in like my lineage that has been overlooked, and I'm just like really excited to share in like a way that feels good and that is continuously evolving. And another thing that I also like wanted to mention about that is like, for example, the word for tabaco, like it's a Taino word, it's an Arawak word, and that medicine is so integral to to our land and to our practices and to like tobacco is everything, right? And yet, like, not a lot of people know that that's a Taíno word.
Wow.
And like, language has so much energy, right? Like, in this, back to kind of, I guess, our conversation around like language and like reclaiming and regenerating like our lives and our livelihood, like there's something about that, like, that doesn't feel right, that there's this Taíno word that's entered and that's like part of our landscape and right, and also, right, like our relationship, or like the American relationship with tobacco is like is incredibly a strained one. So like, that's another topic as well. But like, what does it mean to like, yeah, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I think that there's a lot of power in the roots that I don't necessarily see being honored today. I think there's a lot of like, I don't know, just
like a lack of grounding in historical and ancestral knowledge, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that about tobacco. I did not know that, and I feel really honored to hear that from you and to learn that from you in this conversation. And also, I want to give you a shout out for being in grad school. And I was telling you right before this, I can't believe how much stuff you do. You know, you have so many different offerings that come from like it, you know, we all compartmentalize different sides of ourselves, but it's like you have so many different like moving parts in your work. And doing that on top of grad school, that's a lot, you know, and you deserve rest and care and everything to like nourish yourself so you can keep creating. And I kind of like, from what you shared, wanted to get into a little bit about how, you know, since you're a studio, do you identify as like a studio artist or like a multidisciplinary artist?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely a studio artist, an interdisciplinary artist. Yeah.
So how do you feel like plants, and I would say since you're talking a lot about like ancestral connection to plants, like how have these aspects influenced you as an interdisciplinary artist?
Mm-hmm. I think they've always been in my work. I think plants have always showed up in my work, like whether or not it's been in overt ways or in like, you know, they're just there if you like read between the lines or like take a closer look. I think that there's a lot about plants that like they continue to teach me so much about memory, about the nature of creativity as well, about the nature of, about the practice of like opening up your heart, right? Like so much about the practice of listening to plantkin and communicating with plantkin is like about opening the heart and allowing like the mind to kind of like to not take over. I think in relation to my practice, you know, I feel like I do so much, and you're right, and also like there's nothing that I do alone, you know. I'm in so much gratitude to the community that I have, to the community that I've nurtured, and like the people that I've had the privilege to work with, and also like the spirits and the plants that are continuously that like that I also collaborate with, right? So I also have to like affirm that I'm like never in the studio alone, and so much of like of being in the studio, of being in my apothecary, just feels really like synchronous, because like that's when I'm in the flow, you know, that's when like yeah, there's definitely like moments that I just feel like the spirit like move through me in such a like easeful, natural way, and I'm like, oh yeah, right, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be creating, making medicine. I'm supposed to be like attending births and like welcoming babies into the world. Like all of these moments of flow is part of what like plants continue to like teach me and to point me towards. And I think there's also something about I've been exploring a lot of like histories of extraction, a lot of mining and Western land grabbing, and then like the history of state parks and national parks and kind of like this overarching paradigm of like what is valuable, what is not, like and the devaluing of life in this society. And I think a lot of that also comes from my relationship with plants, right? And like, what does it mean to like, I'm kind of like, I think spending a long time drawing this out, because I realized that I'm thinking about these things as like I'm saying it, so I'm like processing it at the same time, but like
I'm right there, I'm falling. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like what's the place of care, what's the place of heart connection, like how do like, and also like having a critical, thoughtful relationship to like these histories, because I strongly believe that like plantkin are like also like radical and like revolutionary as fuck. Like they're also in this fight with us. Like they also are like ready for shit to burn down. You know, like their life is also like equally endangered and like oppressed and at risk. So there's also this like so I think about that and I think that a large part of like my studio practice is also like allowing myself the time to like reflect on things, to like work things out through ideas and through my hands, and like to like to have a space to process and to transform a lot of things that are like in my head, mm-hmm. and weighing me down, kind of like in my mental space. And it's like, no, let's unpack this, let's unravel this, let's like look at this from other perspectives. And and I think that like plants are definitely wanting us to do that work as well.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah. So kind of on that note, you had an offering last year of Revolutionary Plant Power. I was hoping you would talk a little about that, and also about some of the flower essences that have really stood out to you in this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Revolutionary Plant Power was a lot of fun. It was my first class offering as like under Botanica Cimarrón, and I was like, okay, how can I like really put like, how can I align all of these perspectives that like I really want to share, both like from creativity to history to like the practicality of folk medicine making for both like yourself and also for your loved ones and community members, and earth healing and community building. And then, yeah, so I designed this three-part series class that, I felt like was like kind of coming out of ways of like, this is like my wacky ass self and ideas, and cool, if people are into it, like show up. And and it was really like beautiful and stunning to see how many people resonated with it. And it was all on Zoom because of COVID, and it was in partnership with Murmurs Gallery in LA and their amazing permaculture initiative, and they were really dope to work with. And we made a heart healing balm. We made a tincture of motherwort, rose, and hawthorn together. Which felt like really necessary at the time. There was a lot of grief that I think was really coming up in the collective, and that really continues to do so, but felt like really, really present at the time. And yeah, I think like a lot of people too, like, these recent times have expanded my relationship to grief and like and all that it's been teaching me. And you know, as like, grief isn't something that we just experience in the hopes that it'll go away pretty soon. It's like it's a constant, especially with like what we're living under, with so much that is falling and decaying, and rightfully so. But you know, there's a lot of destruction that's continuing to happen with this period in time that we're in, you know, that like I can't even name with my humble 28 years of experience on this earth. I've been working with a few essences over the past months. Like, Stargazer Lee makes this elixir called Restructuring for Riding the River that has felt like my Saturn return elixir.
Oh, wow.
And there's also, I made this flower essence formula of tobacco, foxglove, and elder, and rose and brandy that I've been working with also over, I think, the past like three moon cycles or two moon cycles. I'm calling it the cures and the venom. And it feels like walking through the fires of transformation and like kind of, yeah, just learning to be at peace with the transformation that is happening right now. And I'm also working with a beautiful thing about coming to LA, which is where I'm at now and have been over the past year, is just like getting to know this completely new landscape. You know, like, I've never spent time in a desert before coming out here. And one of the plants that I've gotten close to is jacaranda. Mm. Where I was living, like, there was just so many jacaranda trees, and their lilac bell flowers, In case anyone's not familiar with them, but my friend Kat and I, Catherine Tom, also of the Web Astrology, we made a flower essence together under the Capricorn new moon, or I think it was the full moon. I don't remember right now,
This
but it's
summer.
with Jacar yeah, it was the summer with Jacaranda, White Rose, and I think there was like one other plant friend in there that is escaping my mind, but those have been kind of the mainstays this summer.
Wow, that sounds amazing. And the one that you said you've been working with, the title of it had the word venom in it. Is that, you said it was tobacco essence, and what are the other two?
Foxglove and
Foxglove.
the flower. Yeah.
An elderflower. Wow, do you have that in your shop?
I don't,
Okay.
but I can send you one.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, like that was, we'll talk about that. I actually got, last summer we did a trade and I got a blue vervain lemon balm, I think, from you, an elixir. And the funny story about it, so I've never had this happen before, but somehow I think I left it outside on my patio and it, some kind of creature got into it because it got dragged like to the other side of the patio. And then it was like, and every time I'd walk by it, and I just left it out there because every time I walked by it, it would look like, and then eventually it was like the critter like chewed off the rubber top. And I left it out there because I was like, this now belongs to, like, they're coping now, like the animals, they're like using this to cope with the stress of 2020, you know? So I always will
Definitely.
remember that. It felt really potent that, like, I've never had that happen. I leave tinctures outside all the time. You know, one thing about the desert, you can leave more things outside. Well, not in the summer because they will literally melt, but you can leave things outside and you don't have to worry about them getting like rained on or anything. And that's the only tincture that's ever been like taken from me by the animals of the desert. So I feel like it's really special.
I love that.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like, I wanted to tell you that story. And I was like, I don't know if I'll tell it on the podcast, but then it felt like, it felt, yeah, it felt appropriate because I felt it was my first time really working with blue vervain also. So I was really enjoying that tincture. So it wasn't my favorite thing that they chose to take that, but I felt like I just needed to let that happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That
So
about
I wanted to ask you, and I know this is like a sensitive topic, so we don't need to get into this a lot, but I just made an order on your site because and as I was saying before, like you have on your personal website, which I'll put links to everything in the bio so folks can check them out, and they definitely should. You have a blog, Wild Hearts, where you interview different folks about their work, and then you also make zines, and I'm really excited to get like the orchid flower and zine about the orchid flower. And you also have a zine about your process. I guess I don't know how to like your process, like filing a sexual assault claim at your campus. Is that the right way to explain it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's like, you know, really powerful. And I definitely am planning to order that in the future. And I'm wondering like how these experiences, because you know, I know anytime that we try to address any type of like interpersonal violence in like a institutional structure, it the violence is tenfold, you know, like the violence of the experience, at least like that's how I would explain it from like my own experiences. It's like when you go to like the institution to be like validate this harm that was done to me, that can sometimes be like so re-traumatizing. But I'm kind of curious if you want to say anything about, you know, this work that you've done and how that has like informed some of the work that you're doing now.
And I think you're definitely right, you know, that was my experience of like date rape happened. And then the experience of like bringing up to quote unquote the authorities on campus, right? Like the people responsible for dealing with Title IX, and then the subsequent trial that happened was actually like, and also the community fallout that happened was like more traumatizing than the actual experience. I've always been a person that, like, I've always been a writer ever since I could put pen to paper. Like, I have been writing. So journaling was a big part of just of kind of like something that I do all the time. And so like making a book, making the zine was like never something that I had intend like even thought of doing or intended on doing, but something just sparked in me one day when I was like looking through my journal and also through like selfies that I was like taking throughout the time and over the years, you know, as I like continued to unpack the experience, as I continued to heal myself, and as I continue to kind of also like investigate the patterns, both the ancestral patterns and like the societal patterns of shame and silence and of like and of toxicity within interpersonal relationships and violence within interpersonal relationships, and like the ways that that had formed me and like my experience of the world. So I had continued to do that. I was like, yeah, one day I was just looking at things and I was like, oh, I think I have to share this. I think this needs to like to be a book, to like be something. And then from there it was just like very quickly, you know, I think in like the next couple of days, I just, yeah, I scanned shit, I printed shit out, I put it together into a book, and you know, and yeah, I started sharing it with people in my immediate community. And it's, you know, like a lot of other times that I've shared things of my own personal experience, like it's very hard. It's very hard for me to be vulnerable about my pain and my wounding and yeah, and like moments when I'm not strong, you know. So yeah, it was kind of, so I was aware of that and still like I shared it. And I guess I'm sharing this because I think that also reflects in like a lot of the offerings that I have, or like the work that I do, or like, you know, it like I'm definitely deeply intentional, but then I'm also like deeply, I guess, in tune. And like just like I've made it a practice to listen and to trust, and like even when shit's uncomfortable for me, I'm like, oh, I think my guides, I think my ancestors, like I feel like this needs to be shared. And also because it's not just for me to carry, you know, it's like I have a story, other people also have stories, and you know, it's very much a symptom of like of the poison of the poison of patriarchy, of colonialism, of like of yeah, of our relationship to each other and our relationship to life. So yeah, that is out in the world, and definitely never thought that I would share something like that, but I did, and it feels right, and yeah.
Wow. Well, I commend you for your radical vulnerability in like your creations. And I guess yeah, like there we've touched on a lot, but I guess is there anything that you want to add or say before we do like where people can find you and stuff like that?
You asked me in the beginning about past projects that I've been involved with, and I guess like part of my journey that yeah I forgot to answer
Sure.
that question. But yeah, and I was the co-founder of Abuela Taught Me, which is an Afro-Taíno Two-Spirit space. And that was part of my life for a long time. When I co-founded it with Cleopatra in 2016, 2017. Yeah, and I've also was part of a collective called Homecoming, and actually, never mind. Can you just cut this part out?
Sure, totally.
I don't
Yeah,
know
no
why it feels really
problem.
awkward for me.
That's okay. Sometimes we start, yeah, sometimes you start talking about something and then you're like, you know what? Never mind. So no problem. So thank you so much for everything that you've shared today. And I'm sure lots of people are going to want to connect to you and check out your offerings. What's the best way for folks to connect and learn more about what you're doing?
Yes, thank you. People can follow Botanica Cimarron on Instagram. It's BotanicaCimarron. And also online, our shop is botanicacimarron.love. And my personal website is cimarron.earth. And that will lead you to kind of learn more about my offerings and the work that I do, and to my artist website as well, to my studio website, which is catherinefelice.com. And my personal Instagram is cimarron.earth. And yeah, I'm out here.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Catherine, for being here, for sharing so much, and just for being, yeah, for just like offering everything that you do and like showing up as your whole self in like the way that you create.
Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch, where a pledge of $5 or more per month gets you access to extra content and helps support the production of the show. And go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review. You can also check out the website for tarot readings and apothecary and other offerings. Thanks so much, y'all. See you next time.